Good afternoon, boys and girls. My name's Rebecca, and I want to welcome you behind the wall. It's always good to spend time with friends, and you're our friends, so we thank God that you're here. Now, if you joined us last time, you would know that we were talking about the topic of obedience. We learned that obedience is following the rules that God has given us. And we shared a story with you last time about a man in the Bible named Abraham, how he faced a very difficult task and he responded by obeying God, and he was blessed for that. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about the opposite of obedience, and that's disobedience. But before we do, we're going to start our program by singing a song of worship together, and it's called Obedience. So I want you to sit up a little bit straighter. I want you to sing the best that you can as we start our program today, and I want you to pay really careful attention to the words. Daniel's going to be coming along right after the song for Bible time. We'll see you then.
Kids, welcome to Bible Time. I'm Daniel. Good to see you all today. And today we're going to be talking about the topic of disobedience. Last time we spoke, we talked about obedience, which is to obey God's word, whatever he commands you, and the rules given to us from the people God's put in authority in our lives. So, simply put, obedience is listening and obeying the word of God exactly as he gives it to you. Now, what is the opposite of that? Disobedience is when you don't do what God wants you to do. Plain and simple. There's different ways to disobey and different levels of disobedience, but at the end of the day, it's you saying, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And the Bible says very clearly that this isn't a good thing. The Bible says in James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And what that means is, when we choose to disobey and not do God's will, we are committing a sin, which is an awful thing in God's eyes. To sin means to miss the mark. You're supposed to be here, but instead you're somewhere else. And the Bible speaks very clearly to say that sin causes trouble in our lives. Sin hurts other people. Sin hurts God, and sin hurts you. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is indeed death. Meaning, if you live a life full of sin, then you'll die for it. And this is why disobedience is such an important topic to discuss. Because disobedience happens. We don't obey God's law perfectly. And we need to know, how does disobedience look? Why does it happen? And what are the consequences of that disobedience? So, to do this, we're going to look at two different Bible stories, which are people in the Bible who've chosen not to obey God's word. We're going to look at the commandment God gave them, how they disobeyed. I'm going to ask you guys three questions. I want you to write down or speak with your mom and dad and answer these questions. What was the commandment? How did they disobey? And lastly, I want you to think about something. What were the consequences of their disobedience? And we'll discuss all those in a second. So let's go to our first story of Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. So here we are in Genesis chapter 3. Let's head there all together. And we're at the story of Adam and Eve, which I hope most of you are very familiar with, because Adam and Eve were the first two human beings God created. He created the male and female, created he them. And they were in the Garden of Eden. Now, Eden was perfect. God had created this place where all the animals he created lived, all the plants he created lived, and Adam and Eve were given full charge of this entire place. Now, God commanded them and told them, you can have any of the trees of this entire place to eat from. There are fruits everywhere. They're delicious. They're wonderful, except for one. And that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we pick up in chapter 3 with Eve and Adam together in the garden. And all of a sudden, a serpent comes up and begins to talk to Eve. Now, Eve had been told by God what to do and what to not do in the garden. But the serpent came and told her, well, you know, maybe you should try this fruit anyways. Did God really say that you shouldn't eat or taste of this tree? And then Eve obviously repeated the commandment back to the serpent. But the serpent said, oh, God's lying. The only reason why you're not supposed to eat that fruit is because if you eat it, you'll be smart and wise like God. And Eve then did something terrible. She disobeyed God. So let's look together in the Bible at the commandment that was given to Eve. The commandment is found in Genesis 3. Chapter 3, from her own mouth, where God says, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. That was a commandment God gave to Eve, saying, don't eat that fruit. What was her response? It was disobedience. What did she do? Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis 3, verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for granting wisdom, she took some and she ate it. That means she not only saw the fruit look good and tasty like it had before, but she listened to what the devil said, that serpent, and believed that that fruit was good for wisdom. So the reason why Eve disobeyed was simple. It was good-looking fruit, looked tasty, she wanted it, and also now she had believed the devil to believe, well, it's also good for wisdom. So she wanted it, and there was no reason not to do it, right? If I want it, I should be able to do it. And she ignored God's law because of what Eve wanted. So what was the consequence of that? Well, the consequence was quite simple. It was that Eve and Adam were kicked out of the Garden of Eden for disobedience. God commanded them to obey him. God commands us to obey him. And as a result of their disobedience, they were kicked out of paradise, and every single human being born today is born in the image of Adam, bearing his sin in our flesh when we're born. We're born into sin, meaning that none of us are perfect, and this sin nature that was given because of this act of disobedience is in each one of us today, and it's the reason we need to be saved, we need to believe and become Christians. And that's the story of Adam and Eve. So off we go to story number 2, found in the book of Numbers in chapter 20. And here we are in Numbers chapter 20 with the story of Moses and Aaron in the desert of Meribah. So in this story, we see Moses and Aaron together, Aaron being the high priest and Moses being the one that God called to lead Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. Now, on their journey, there was lots of troubles. They were wandering for 40 years. And at one point in this story, Israel is coming to Moses and to Aaron saying, we're going to starve. We have no food. We have no water. We're dying. Please give us water. This is terrible. And they're complaining. And Moses is just scared for his life, but also very frustrated, and goes to God and falls on his face with Aaron, begging God to help them and to give them something to drink. And God answers Moses with a commandment. So let's go there right now to Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. And Moses is told by God, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water. Thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink. God basically told Moses and Aaron, get yourselves together, pick up that staff, grab all the people together, and speak to the rocks, and water will come forth and feed the people. Now, this is a miracle, right? God's asking them to have faith and to do a miracle before the people. So, what did Moses do? Well, we move down to verses 10 and 11. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. So, listening good so far, right? He brought them all together in front of the rock, as God had commanded. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. That's Numbers 20, verses 10 and 11. So Moses technically obeyed part of the commandment. He took the staff, and he took Aaron and himself, got all the people together, came to that rock, and he was about to do what God told him, but instead, he hit the rock twice. Why? Well, Moses was angry. Moses had had enough of the consistent complaining. He was frustrated, and he called the people a name. He called them, you rebels. And he said, must we get water out of the rock for you? Moses was angry and said, why should I have to get water out of this rock for this angry, rebellious people? And the reason Moses disobeyed God was he was emotional. He was angry. He was frustrated. And so we see here, not like Eve, who wanted something so bad that she disobeyed God. Moses was so emotional and so angry that he disobeyed God. And those really are two of the main reasons why we disobey God. Because we feel a certain way, and we don't want to stop the way we feel. We want to feel how we feel and express our emotions. Or we just want what we want. So for example, if your mom says you can't touch those cookies till they've cooled down and after dinner, but you want them. I want those cookies. I want them so bad. They're cookies. They're delicious. That's you being like Eve, who just wanted something so bad because it looked good for them and would make them happy. Or it could be when your mom says to you, don't pinch your brother and sister, and you just are so angry, you still pinch them because you need to get those emotions out. You want to be angry, so you disobey what God's commanded you to do, to listen to your mother and father, and you go and pinch that person. So it's very simple, my friends, is that we need to obey God regardless of how we feel and regardless of what we want, because God knows better than we do how we should feel and what we should want. And what was the consequence for Moses? You know, Moses was the leader of Israel. He brought them from Egypt into the wilderness, right to the foot of the promised land for 40 years. Well, he suffered one of the greatest consequences imaginable. He had to stop before they got into the promised land and died right before they got into Israel. If you know your Bible well, you'll know that Joshua was the one who took Israel into the promised land, not Moses. Because in that moment, God says to him that he did not sanctify the Lord as holy. He didn't honor the Lord before all of Israel. Instead, he took vengeance for himself. So the whole point of this discussion is that when we disobey God, there are consequences. If you disobey right now, as a Christian, there are still consequences, even though our sins are covered with the blood of Christ. Your bad decisions to disobey hurt yourself, hurt your loved ones, and hurt your relationship with God, to the point where you can see throughout the Psalms, David had to cry unto God to forgive him, to restore to him joy, to restore to him peace, because he disobeyed God in many different ways. And to the unbelievers, your disobedience will send you to hell. Your disobedience is the reason why God is angry with you every day, because you refuse to live and obey by the law he's put in your heart, and he's spoken to you time and time again, not only through this message today, but every time you go to church, every time your mom and dad speak to you the things of God. So please take a moment and reflect and consider whether your disobedience is worth it. Whether it's worth it to keep not listening to mom and dad, being emotional, wanting what you want. Give up your desires to God. Trust his will and trust his word, because his commandments are the way of life. And with all that being said, I want to pray for all of you in this moment who know the Lord and even those of you who don't know the Lord, that you might learn the power of obedience and the wickedness of disobedience. Heavenly Father, I pray that any child listening today who knows you, Lord God, would trust you today. Father, give their hearts over in full submission unto thy perfect and wonderful word, to know, Lord God, that disobedience is sin, and sin separates us from you, hurts others, Lord God, and will destroy our own flesh if we let it, Lord God. But may we love obedience, love to serve you, love to love you, Lord God, for the fruit of obedience is far greater than any fruit of disobedience. And for those who don't know you, Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, in your holy name, that you might save their souls today. They might see that a life of disobedience is no life at all. In fact, it's eternal damnation forever and ever. Father, please save souls today. Forgive them and bless them. They might walk in obedience through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And with that being said, kids, it's off to Rebecca for memory verse time and a very special announcement.
Boys and girls, welcome to Memory Verse Time. Now this week we are not learning a new memory verse, but we are going to take a few minutes to review all five verses that we've already learned in our first five episodes. So let's do a quick recap and then I'll fill you in on our little contest coming up. Verse number one from episode number one was Psalm 56 verse 3, and it says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." In episode number two, we learned Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, which says, "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." In episode number three, we learned Psalm 141, verse 3, and it says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." In episode number four, we learned 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, and it says, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Our last episode was on obedience, right? So we learned Luke chapter 11, verse 28, and it says, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Excellent. I hope all of you were able to say those with me. Now, I have a special contest that I want to fill you in on. Here's the deal. Boys and girls, the first five of you to send us an email at behindthewall@torontofpc.ca with a video of you saying all five memory verses correctly will receive a special prize in the mail. So it's really important that you memorize those verses or brush them up, get mom and dad to send us a video, and then if you make the deadline and you're one of the first five people, then you will receive a special prize from us in the mail. All right? So we hope that all of you are learning God's word, not just for prizes, but because it is an amazing thing for us to hide God's word in our hearts. Now, before we go, I just want to say a quick hello to our friend Abigail in Cloverdale. Thank you for reaching out to us, Abigail. And we hope that any of you, if you want to say hi, send us an email at behindthewall@torontofpc.ca because we would love to hear from you. We hope we see you next time, boys and girls. Behind the Wall.